Absolutely. Welcome back to Hard Facts here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Welcome. On Wednesday, it's a Balogun Broad on Hard Facts. Today, we plan to talk about Nigeria's debt problems. Yes, we plan to talk about that. Judge Ashiru will be joining us on the show. I'm still expecting him to, you know, join the show. But while we wait for him to join the show, we're going to do two things, right? And Chief of all is that we're going to fall back to one of the stories that we brought to you on the top three, on the big three, at 3 o'clock. And that will be our last story on Nnamdi Kanu giving conditions for him to be tried. Accelerated hearing, right? But Judge is here, so we're going to just move ahead and talk to Judge. But before we bring on Judge, Kemi is here. Kemi, look, I don't want to bother you about Rotimi Sankore anymore, because Rotimi Sankore, we can't finish talking about him. We can't discuss him enough. We can't pay our tributes enough. Everybody that has spoken about Rotimi Sankore has got one or two things, because he developed this direct relationship with you, whether he knows you or not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how special he was. Let me quickly get on to George and say hello to George. Hi, George. How are you doing? Good evening to you. Thank you for joining us on Hard Facts.
Good evening to you. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing okay. We're going to get on with our conversation shortly. I need Kemi here. Kemi is with me. Let's Kemi say hi to George.
Hi, George.
Hi, Kemi. How are you doing?
Okay.
So we have a short message from Kemi, then we'll get on with our conversation. Kemi.
The Employers Association for Private Employment Agencies of Nigeria, EAPEAN, invites the public to its launch and first Chief Executives Conference, theme Outsourcing in the 21st Century and its Challenges. Keynote speaker, Barrister Ahmed Gober, Chartered Institute of Personnel Management, CIPM. Distinguished Guest of Honor, Honorable Nkiruka Onyedioche, Minister of State, Labor and Employment. Special Guest of Honor, Justice Benedict Kanyip, President, National Industrial Court of Nigeria. Host, Dr. Olufemi Ogunlowo, President, EAPEAN. Chief Host, Lagos State Governor, Babajide Sanwo-Olu. Date, Thursday, 18th April 2024. Time, 10 a.m. Venue, Radisson Hotel, Ikeja, Lagos. Announcer, Planning Committee.
Thank you, Kemi. Let's get on with our conversation. I've got Judge Ashiru on the show this evening. Judge Ashiru is the Lagos State Chairman of the ADC. He's a very pragmatic leader. He's a transformational leader. He's very, very inspirational. If you've listened to him before, you'd know what I'm talking about. But it's also very, very vast in the conversation we're going to have today. Judge Ashiru, thank you again for joining us on Hard Facts. I know that you were expecting to speak with Marianne, but Marianne is unavoidably absent at the last minute. I just had to, you know, jump in. I am Sheriff Quadri. Nice to meet you. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Now, let's jump in the conversation now. Nigeria's debt servicing and budget distortion is such a huge conversation, because despite the naira appreciating in value against the dollar lately, one could say that there's a lot of debt resting on our neck, about 16 trillion naira. What am I saying? Like, maybe a whole lot more. Debt financing, as well as debt servicing and sinking fund required to service Nigeria's debt in 2024. This may rise to about 48%. A lot of people are talking about what is going to happen to our debts. What is going to happen to how we manage our debts? I'd like to first start, with what the naira gaining against the dollar has. What's the impact on our debt servicing, on our debt obligation? Let's start from there first. Is there any connection between naira, gaining in value and our debt obligations?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I mean, that's really one of the reasons why the debt ratio will go up. You have to taste foreign currency credit, but you are going to spend it in naira, and then you are going to earn money in naira to pay off that dollar. So if it's now, if you got $15 billion when the exchange rate was, say 500, now by the time you're going to pay back that same amount with the doubled exchange value over the past few months, past 1 year really, yeah. Then you're going to chase more naira to pay off the dollar that you purchased a year ago. So it makes more sense for government to find a way, you know, what you are trying to get from devaluation, you are going to lose through another way. And so now they've realized that, and that's why it's very important, which is what Buhari was afraid of, to try and keep your currency as stable as possible, not just for planning, not just for corporate planning and business planning, even at the government level, but it's just so many different loose wheels tied up into one ecosystem that you just can't lose the control required, you know, to have that entire ecosystem under your thumb, so to speak. So I think that's what CBN is now trying to do through so many different ways. And that's just because of the exchange rate. That's something that is not even based on anything else that you have done. It's just the exchange rate can double your debt profile. That's simple as that. So when you liberalize the Forex market without thinking of the long-term implication of that to your external debt profile, you're going to meet this. And in order to pay off, they have to remove subsidy so that they have enough cash at hand to be able to pay off. So otherwise, what will happen is that if you have a national budget of 20 trillion and you are thinking you are going to pay off maybe 7 trillion out of it to be used to pay off foreign debt, now because you have lost a lot of money through the exchange rate, you're going to have to pay 14 trillion to pay off all of that, which will take all of your budget. So essentially, what we're saying now is that the revenue of governments, most of it is going to be used to pay off external debt. So they're all tied together. It's not possible to take one action without thinking of the ramification on other areas of the economy.
You know, this conversation is so key and so important that I wish, you know, we had more time to properly drill down into the crux of this conversation, because, I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking, what is at stake in terms of government activities, funding capital projects in all parts of the country this year? Because from the report that I have, I mean, we are going to be spending a whole lot more. I mean, last year it was between 2022 and 2023, it was between 7 trillion naira or so to 8 trillion naira spent on servicing debt and all of that. This year we are going to be financing our debts, we're going to be servicing our debts, we're going to be, you know, paying some money in some sinking funds and all of that. All of this, if you put it together, analysts, experts have put it at about 16.09 trillion naira in 2024 alone. And that scares me, you know, because we have other things that we need to do. And I'm asking, Josh, please help me out here. Does this mean that we're going to have some sort of a slowdown in government activity, especially in infrastructural projects in the country in 2024? Also, does this also mean that perhaps governments may want to rethink any plan to go ahead and borrow again this year in 2024? I mean, what's your expert opinion on what 2024 will look like in terms of infrastructural projects in the country, going by, you know, the debt on our neck this year?
Well, Nigerian government, and indeed a lot of foreign governments, have been taking loans to finance the budget for over a decade. Since 2007, 2008, when the world economic crunch came upon the world, I mean, a lot of governments have been financing their budget through external borrowing and internal borrowing. So that's not unusual. The really difficult thing to determine is what is the ceiling, debt ceiling, that you want to maintain, so that in a way, that debt ceiling is in relationship to your GDP. That allows you to control the possibility that you will be overwhelmed by your debt and you will not be able to focus on critical developmental things. One of the challenges that we have is that at least for the past 9 years, every single annual budget has been deficit budgeting. which means the government is not actually raising the revenue that they budgeted. So when you make a budget of 10 trillion, it's a presumption that you're going to raise 10 trillion through taxes, through government services, through charges, import duties, whatever.
Right.
But in reality, the government may be making only 40% of what it budgeted as a revenue. Where do you think the balance is going to come from? So obviously, you are going to have to borrow that money. You know, so they take loans from central bank, ways and means loans. They take loans through bonds, through securities, and all the others. And then, of course, they take loans from the IMF and from the World Bank. Now, all these entities have their conditions. So there was a time when taking a loan, it could just be 1%, 2%, 3%, and you'd have 20 years to pay back. Those are the early years of our republic. Now, there are many more ways in which people raise funds, and they are very expensive. These are short-term debts. And so government, in order not to lose its integrity, will be forced to pay off all those short-term debts.
Yeah.
And then by so doing, they don't have enough money to take care of the capital projects and then the operating cost of running the government.
Right.
So when you take a loan, you then have to decide, where should I use this money? Should it be on developmental projects? Should it be on, you know, just paying salaries and running the government? That's really where the problem is. That's really where the legislature and the executive have to constantly have the conversation. See, that conversation is going on in America right now. You know, the conversation around, should we give Ukraine money? Should we give money to Gaza? Should we give money to Israel?
Yeah.
All of this is because they know that even though they are the most, they are the greatest debtor nation in the world, but in comparison to their GDP, they can still manage it because the world currency is built around the dollar. The productive capacity of America will pay off all their debts when they want to do it. So businesses using debt to run their operations is not unusual. The most important thing is sustainability. Can you sustain it? So what we have in Nigeria is that we don't feel sometimes the impact. So imagine going to take a debt, take a loan in order for you to pay for palliatives, for example. I mean, it's the
just imagine that.
So you would hear the government, for example, say we are taking a loan so that can we use it to mitigate the effect of subsidy. Okay, but you're already going to make money from subsidy. You're going to make about 12 trillion from subsidy. So if you're going to make money from subsidy, why do you need to take extra money from outside in order to pay for palliatives for the subsidy you removed? So these are all the things that we're talking about, that there's not enough conversation going on around. There's not enough town hall conversations going on around why we're even taking this loan, what we're using a loan for. You know, sometimes you can call your people and say, we need to raise 2 billion and we need to use it for this project and we have to pay it back. And the people will go back to you and say, you know what, there's a referendum. We don't even want you to take the loan. Don't take the loan because the conditions attached to the loan are too punitive for us to bear. Look at the structural adjustment program that practically killed Nigeria's economy. Right. It was the conditions attached to the loan that destroyed Nigeria's economy. You know, we were forced to devalue, even though we were not producing anything. So when you devalue and you do, you're not exporting anything. What is the benefit of the devaluing? You know, so, and devaluing has been going on nonstop since 1985. So really, I think what is happening is that, again, I keep saying that we tend to be reactive in the way and manner in which we're managing issues. But I do believe that what government can do is difficult, is that they first have to find a way to remove all forms of subsidies. You know, and I'm not saying remove it by fiat. I do not agree, for example, that the subsidy removal of electricity in order to retain funds to run your budget. I do not think asking your people to pay three times what they were paying before, two times, four times what they were paying before, is good business sense. Because once their cost increases, then their taxes reduces. And therefore, you are going to end up getting no money from tax, which you got from removal of subsidy. Whereas what you need to do is find a way to encourage people to produce, reduce their costs, so that, and then you go and put more emphasis on your tax regime, so that you say, look, we've subsidized electricity for you so that you can make money. Now that you're making money, pay your taxes. And then the government will be able to have, you know, a tax. Right now, the tax regime, you know, it's about 10% of GDP. Imagine if 25% of GDP was tax, which means we will have more than enough money to run our economy just from tax alone, which most countries are doing that don't have any products to sell, like we have crude oil. So I think in the long run, there's not enough conversation around options and opportunities. And that's, again, because of transparency is not there, accountability is not there, NNPC is not transparent. The Nigerian Ports Authority needs to be a bit more transparent and more accountable to the people. So we will actually see where these revenues are coming in and what these revenues are used for. You know, so are we spending too much on security? That probably means we are not spending enough on education. Because if you spend enough on education, you will not have school-age boys carrying guns. They will be in schools. You know, so are we spending enough? How much money are we spending on agriculture and food security? But the reason that we're having challenges in inflation in food prices is because probably we don't have an agricultural revolution consistently. And then our foreign exchange is because we're not exporting enough. Instead, people are smuggling, private organizations are smuggling goods made in Nigeria to other countries, which has no benefit to the country because then they are not paying for the appropriate taxes that are related with it. So those are the issues. It's a complex issue.
It sounds really complex. I must say.
Yes, it is complex.
But let's track back a little bit before we head out for a first break this hour, because I'm wondering, really, you said something that really struck a chord in me about, you know, debts and, you know, government after government piling up debts and piling up debts. And that has prompted me to want to ask, really, what is the cause or what are the causes of our debt situation? I mean, look, first, make it clear to me and to Lagos listening to you right now, do we have a debt crisis?
Yes, we do. We are owing 108 trillion in terms of both foreign and local debts, both at the state and federal level, 108 trillion. And our overall debt situation is over 50% of our GDP. Now, there are some countries that have far more than that. There are some countries that have 200% of their GDP, 300% of their GDP. Some countries are in real deep trouble, but they are productive countries in terms of their ability to earn. See, almost all our debts is related to Forex. Our need for foreign exchange to pay for imports. If we were a command economy where, you know, we produce like Japan and like some of these other countries, we produce all the things we did locally. We don't import too many things. We won't have this problem with debt. But because we are essentially looking for money to be able to give money to people to go and, you know, import stuff so that the economy can float. So we have a lifestyle issue, we have prioritization issue, and then we don't have an industrial base to support it. So if I was taking loan, I'd be focused on using the loans on industrialization. I'd be focused on digital economy development. I'd be focused on e-commerce development. I'd be focused on plastics industry, metal industry, power generation, anything that can encourage innovators to come to Nigeria and want to. And then, of course, vocational education, technical education, because we need technicians to produce things. So that's what they have in Brazil. That's what they have in Taipei, Taiwan. That's what they have in China. That's why everybody's going to produce there, because they have a large number of technicians. I'm not talking of corporate members now. I'm talking of technicians, people that can produce. You can bring your factory to Nigeria, and if you're looking for 10,000 technicians who are electrical engineers, you can find them.
And you'll get them.
We do not have them because our focus has been on academic education. So that's why you can find a history graduate who is the chairman of a bank, the MD of a bank, because he can't even practice what he went to learn. So we need to de-emphasize academic education as much as it's important and start putting emphasis in vocational and technical education, because at this point of our history, that and digital economy is what's going to save us.
Indeed. You know, before we go on a break, I'd like for you to speak on the impact of this huge debt that is now a crisis on our local economy. You know, I started by saying, you know, what will happen in 2024 with the amount of debt and other commitment that we would have to observe this year, 2024, and that's just this year, because, you know, like you said, these loans have long tenure that you have to pay for 20, 25 years and all of that. For this year alone, we should be ready to pay 16 point something trillion naira, you know, servicing debt and other commitments. And then, so what then happens to government government spending. And we're in a society whereby government spending practically drives the economy. We're not at that pace yet where the private sector fully drives it. We're not there yet. But we're right at this point where even the private sector are being threatened by the current reality surrounding their businesses. We talk about power, for instance, every day. The private sector are struggling to even pay their power bills right now, you know, let alone, you know, successfully, balancing their books at the end of the day. So everybody is just in a situation whereby, damn if you do, damn if you don't. Let's go to break. When we return, we'll speak more about the impact of this debt situation on local economy. That is next. Lagos, stay here on Hard Facts, 99.3 Nigeria Info.
This is Hard Facts.
Welcome back to Hard Facts here on Nigeria Info 99.3. It's 5:43 on the clock, and we bid you welcome if you're just tuning in. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. We're live. If you'd like to chime in our conversation, you're most welcome to do that by dropping a comment for us on Facebook and on YouTube. We'd like to also, perhaps you could try and proffer a solution to the debt crisis that we're currently in right now. Currency, yes, is gaining, but it should not be in this position to begin with. What would you proffer? What would you say? What would you advise the Tinubu government do in the face of this huge burden of debt on their table? Because everybody, I think they said we're owing everybody, every single Nigeria, I can't remember the amount now, but it's about 200,000 or 400,000. I can't remember now. That's how much, if we are to split the amount of money that Nigeria is owing, that's how much each person would have to pay, right? But then this would have direct or indirect impact on government activities. That is where we're headed right now. George Ashiru, a pragmatic leader, Lagos State chairman of the ADC, is joining or has joined us since 5 p.m. In fact, before 5 p.m. On this show. That's to tell you how much passion he's got, you know, for Nigeria as a country. I love Nigeria myself. Mr. George, thank you again for giving us your time this evening to have this conversation.
Thank you.
Let's dive back into the conversation now before we go hear other people's suggestion, because I would still love to hear, you know, what you would suggest that we do at this point in time. What would you say is the immediate and long-term impact of this debt burden that we have on economic growth?
Okay, I think one of the key things that we should never forget is that the reason there's a debt is because there is little revenue. So if you are not able to raise funds to take care of your capital projects, your operating projects, or whatever costs, the real issue is because you couldn't find money to finance whatever it is. Then you would look for the money elsewhere. So the key question for us is this: why are we not able to generate enough resources within Nigeria with our oil, you know, with our waterways, with our agricultural products, with our 222 million vibrant Nigerians, with our capital assets, intellectual assets? Why are we not? That's the root of it. Mm. You know, because every time we have a conversation, we usually react to something that has passed, but nobody ever goes to the bottom line, the root. Why?
Yeah.
Why are we not generating enough? Why is our GDP not growing? And then why are we not managing the resources that we have, we have created? Why are we not managing it well? The revenues that this country has retained since 1960 to be over $1 trillion. If you're to be honest, why have we not become Dubai? So those are really cogent issues as well. Now, the effect of mismanagement of our resources is going to be felt by the business sector, because 70% of our economy is private sector. So for every mismanagement that occurs at the public sector, the private sector, what pays the tax, government doesn't pay self taxes. It collects taxes and spends it. So almost all revenues that the government gets, it gets it from the private sector. When you go to the port, it's not government that is importing goods, it is private sector. The private sector has to borrow money from the banks to be able to fulfill its obligations, their business obligations. Now, banks are afraid to give you long-term loans. Mm. You know, they're afraid to give you loans 20 years, 30 years to be able to invest in a project that can bring opportunity for Nigeria. So because we can't get loans for long-term projects, most people have turned to buyers and sellers. Mm. So at least you buy and then you sell. And then, of course, when you are buying and selling, then there's a great demand for Forex. Now, this great demand for Forex puts pressure everywhere. So I think that, like I said, you know, daily trying to solve one problem without looking at the entire ecosystem is what got us to where we are right now. There's a reason why our debt profile keeps going up. If you look at the history of Nigeria's debt since 1960, it was flat. It was around 4% of GDP, 8% of GDP for decades. Hmm. It was after the Civil War that naturally, because of the Civil War, we had to take loans to rebuild.
Yeah.
Then it flattened out again. And then when the military came in, it skyrocketed because of the various sanctions. You know, and we suddenly became a country that loved to borrow.
Hmm.
You know, that we used to have a finance minister called Alhaji Alhaji. He said, my problem is not that I can't get you loans. The problem is, how are your children going to pay them back?
Hmm.
Because we do not, the revenue that we make as a country, there must be a balance between demand and supplies. That's economic theory. So when there is no balance, if the demand is much more than supply, then there's going to be inflation. If there's going to be too much of supply of something, then you would have a depression in terms of prices. So the question for us is this: what has led suddenly to this great demand for money, for money, such that our budget of 5 trillion became 25 trillion?
Hmm.
Whereas if you go to UK, the budget has not changed the same period of time, you know, just a couple of, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of pounds, but ours just changes in trillions because it's all connected to Forex.
Hmm.
So the question is this: if we keep borrowing in Forex, where are we investing it? Are we investing it in the real economy? Are we investing in the private sector that has the capacity to generate, again, 70% of the economy? Because borrowing is never the issue. The issue is, what do you do with the money?
Hmm.
My brother, I can assure you that 90% of businesses scale by borrowing. 90 to 90. Where are you going to get money to move your business from 100,000 to 100 million? It's going to be money from somewhere, somebody's money.
Hmm.
Hmm. So, but the issue is, you know that you are going to generate the income to pay back. Isn't that true? So as private businesses, we go out there, generate funds, we pay back our loans. The government doing the same is not a problem. But as a private business, when I take a loan, I know where to put the money so that I can generate enough to pay back.
Right.
But the government, you know, this idea of there's a phrase that was added to the, you know, to the acts that manages, that controls the debt management office. I think it's about, we can borrow for the purpose of nationalism, for a national interest principles. So which means, if there's a need to borrow, we need to borrow because it's for the national interest. What is the meaning of national interest in an objective methodology, not a subjective one? So that means it's possible to take a loan and not appropriately use that loan. Now, if we used it rightly, our revenue should increase the following year after the disbursement of such loans.
Mm.
Because if you give private companies loans, look at Dangote. Dangote got loans to build his refinery. Is it not working now? Is it not earning income? For the next 5 years, Dangote would have absolutely no debt, no startup debt. It may have operating debt, but no startup debt. He would have paid off all his initial investors. That's the business. And it is $20 billion, almost the size of just about half the size of our foreign reserves.
Hmm.
So what we're looking at is not so much that we have debt. It is, when we take these loans, where do we put the money? And can we come back 2 years, 3 years later and say, we took a loan to build railway stations. Now, because of those railway stations and railway lines, we have been able to move 10 billion or 10 trillion naira worth of goods in a shorter period of time. Now, that's good. That's proper statistics. It shows there's value to that investment.
Right.
And it will bring income.
Right.
But for now, what we have is that there is no consistency between annually borrowing because we are not generating revenue. Why are we not generating revenue is the question people should be asking. Businesses generate revenue. Why are we not generating revenue? Businesses go to the stock exchange. Next thing you know, Otedola is a billionaire, is a trillionaire, is a billionaire. That's somebody who took a loan from somewhere, took a loan from somewhere, put it somewhere, and now it's very rich. Why can't Nigeria be like that? Why can't we just, you know, invest rightly, invest properly in the right direction? So it means we are around tripping money. We are simply using this debt that we're collecting, we are simply using it to pay for operating expenses. Operating expenses don't bring revenue. They don't bring profit. We're using it to pay for security. We're using it to pay to manage, to manage our civil service, our public sector. We're using it to pay for palliatives. So where is the money that is for power? Where's the money that is for clean health so that people can work? Where's the money for education so that our graduates will be properly, you know, employable, trained to be employable? So these are the things that really determine whether public sector debt makes any sense. Having said that, just to give you the statistic that you were trying to share, our national debt right now is about $120 billion. $120 billion. Now, it's... You see, in terms of the size of our economy, it's not too extraordinary. What is critical to us is that we are a monoproduct economy. That's our problem. Almost all the revenues of federal government, 70% of it, almost all comes from crude oil. Now, crude oil production is problematic because of bunkering, because of so many things happening. So the revenue government... Yes, the revenue government is getting from crude is no longer what it's supposed to be. So because of that, they cannot finance the budget. So if you plan to make 2 million barrels per day, for example, and you are thinking the crude oil prices will be $100 per barrel, you have made your calculation. You are going to make $40 billion at the end of the year. Because of that, you took a loan, believing that you'll be able to pay at least 60-70% of that cost just from crude oil alone. Then you find out in the middle of the year that your oil production is 40% or 50% less than your original projection.
Yeah.
What happened? Then that's what makes the government now go to the private sector to raise the money through multiple taxation.
That
is the impact on businesses of bad debts.
Yeah, we must go now. It's inexhaustible, this conversation, and we should have it more, like you've said. Judge Ashiru, thank you so much for coming on Hard Facts today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Lagos, that's our show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Stay here on Nigeria Info. The news is next at the top of the hour. Good evening to you.
Every parent wants to see their child growing up happy and healthy. Introducing Renzo Vitamins for Kids, a secret to your child's daily nutrition and boundless joy. With Renzo Vitamins, your child will have the energy to embrace every moment and unlock their full potential. Give your child a head start in life with Renzo Vitamins for Kids, because a happy child is a healthy child.
Enjoy the delicious creamy goodness of Cowbell. Cowbell contains VitaRich and vitamin B9, which supports brain development. Use Cowbell in your tea, cereal, pap, and other meals of choice. Cowbell, so creamy, so good.
I remember being screamed at. The customer was not going to pay for the Bantu knots. But giving up was not an option then, and it isn't now. Not even fear can stop me. Be fearless. Be beautiful with Lush Hair. Lush Hair. Be beautiful.
For how much? That's how you react when you see really high prices for rides. But there's no reason to worry. Because with InDrive, you can always offer a fair deal and not just hope for it. Use InDrive and negotiate for the most fair price for you. InDrive, people driven.
The InDrive online passenger transportation aggregator is not a taxi service. Find more information at www.indrive.com.
It's like every other year, my wife has to paint, and our own kind of budget just makes me want to faint. 50 buckets of paint? It makes sense. I'm
only dropping cheddar if it's using Santex.
Santex?
Yes, Santex. The amazing durability is more than mere text. Rich quality paint within your budget. So make the smart choice. Paint with Santex.
You can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
With a smart choice.
Smart choice.
Santex paint.
Santex paint.
Smart choice.
Smart choice.
Paint your dreams on the walls of your reality. Choose Santex.